So we have been walking together through the Gospel of Matthew. We've spent some time over the last few weeks listening to Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew gives us these five long discourses, five long speeches of Jesus. They mirror the five books of Moses from the Old Testament. And so after that first long sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, after preaching that, we see Jesus healing many people, calming a storm, continuing to call his disciples, sending those disciples out to minister and witness. And in fact, that's the second of the long discourses, the list of instructions he gives them. And upsetting religious leaders for not following their understanding of the law. And that brings us to today's reading, which is part of the third long discourse. This is a series of parables, stories that Jesus shares to help his listeners understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. We'll be spending a lot of time with these kingdom stories during Lent leading up to Easter, and that's quickly approaching. Today, we hear three of them, the center portion of seven stories that Jesus tells in quick succession. Because some of us are so familiar with the parables, and even more of us are unfamiliar with their original context, it can be easy to think that we understand exactly what Jesus meant in those stories. And that certitude often means that we're actually missing the mark, misunderstanding Jesus. And one of the questions that I find most helpful in my study of parables is to always ask, what is the most surprising thing about this story? Because that's probably where the heart of Jesus' message is. The first of our three parables today is a story about a field full of wheat and weeds. I'm glad you're here, Pat, because I think you probably know more about this than I do. You've seen me try to work in your garden, so you know that that is not mine. If Jesus was hanging out in our yard today, he would probably have told a story about crabgrass and fescue, or bluebells and weeds in my flower bed. So in this parable, we hear of a landowner who planted wheat in his field, but later, his servants discovered that there were weeds growing there. And when they questioned the farmer, he told them an enemy must have planted the weeds because he had planted good seed. So they asked him if they should pull up the weeds. And here comes that surprising element I said we should look for. First of all, the first surprising element to me is that an enemy had to plant the weeds because nobody plants the weeds in my yard and they are still there.
They obviously don't have wiregrass.
Right, clearly this was not wiregrass. It was actually worse, if you can believe that. Here's that surprising element, though, the other surprising element. The farmer tells the servants to leave the weeds alone, that later at harvest time, the expert harvesters would take care of them. Now, I don't know much about farming and gardening, but I do know, Pat, you can correct me if I'm wrong, normally you don't just let the weeds grow, right? In some cases you do. Okay, see, I did not know. Generally speaking, weeds can damage the good crops, right? Because they take the nutrients. If you look at the parable that happens earlier in this chapter, the parable of the sower and the seeds that wasn't part of our reading, that exact scenario is described. Weeds choke out the good plants. So in this story, the problem with the weeds, which are darnel, they're named in the Greek, which doesn't translate that way in our English versions, is that darnel is a weed that looks just like wheat until it matures. And it's only when the grain matures that you can see the real wheat is heavy and bends over, while false wheat stands up straight and has a slightly darker color. The other problem is the seeds from the darnel are so toxic that even just a small amount of them can poison a good batch of flour. And any attempts to separate those weeds before they mature would mean that good wheat would likely be sacrificed in the meantime, or that the poison from the weeds would infiltrate the wheat. So the farmer reminds his servants, you aren't qualified to do this. It's going to take a specialist. So we're going to let them grow. And despite thinking that the servants thinking that they know what are weeds and what are not, we need to leave those. That determination is going to be left to the harvesting experts. I feel bad for those servants. After all, they were the ones who recognized that something wasn't quite right with the field. But in the kingdom of heaven, which is what these parables are about, it isn't our place to sort and judge. It's quite the temptation, though, isn't it, to put people in categories, to declare who's good and who's bad, or at least more likely to be bad. It makes the world easier to understand. If everyone just fits in a nice little box, good, nice, poor, rich, liberal, conservative, American, foreign, it's easier. And we tend to look at people who may look different than us, believe differently than us, love differently than us, vote differently than us, and assume they must be wrong. And often, we're inclined to focus our energy on pulling up all of the dangerous and questionable expressions of faith, narrowing the circle, and ensuring that the only people representing God and the church correctly have passed the proper litmus test. And these days, it seems like we have a litmus test for everything, every theological, social, moral, and ethical question. I get it. Don't we have to weed out the bad seeds so they don't affect the good seeds? But Jesus' parable asks us, how do you know for certain what is a weed? We're so quick to judge, as if we were sure we know the difference between wheat and weeds, good seed and bad. But that's seldom the case. Turn us loose with our machetes, and there is no telling what we'll chop down and what we will spare. Meaning to be good servants, we go out to do battle with the weeds and end up standing in a pile of wheat. One of the early church fathers, Augustine, spoke of the church as the corpus paramixtum, a mixed body of believers. So here, in the mixed body of the church in our world, where wheat and weeds grow together in the same field, it's tempting to spend our time identifying and removing the weeds. But the trouble with this, Jesus says in the story, is that we risk harming the good things growing in our midst if we do that. And we risk becoming so distracted by the weeds that we forget to live out the goodness God created us out of and calls us toward right here and right now. So I wonder if this parable shifts our attention away from our attempts to rightly interpret what is good and what is evil, and instead invites us to focus our energy on the crucial work of love. It's not for us to decide who's wheat and who is weed. The master gardener tells his servants to leave both, and he does, after all, own the field. Our job is to tend ourselves, to ensure that we are not weeds. In addition, we're to care for the whole field, to nurture it, to water it, to love and tend all that grows in it. Weed plucking isn't our job, because in the end, it will be God who determines which are the causes of sin and which are doing evil. Rather than calling us to put on our gardening gloves and pluck out what we believe is questionable faith, theology, understandings of God and the world, questionable politics and morals, we're to be wheat. We are to do good, to produce good seed, to seek justice, even in a field where weeds abound. Instead of being sidetracked or distracted by what we perceive as noxious weeds or anything not aligned with God's love and kingdom, what if we put all of our energy into being wheat instead of pulling up weeds? The question isn't who is toxic and who's worthy of the soil. The question is, how do we live together to produce the best harvest. Now, I am not advocating for allowing people to do bad things without consequences or for perpetrating injustice because we're just not sure. There is a place for discernment and for faithful kingdom work. But there is not a place for judging the worth of other beings with whom we share the field. What Jesus is saying is we need to forego judgment on what people are and where they belong. The line between good and evil does not run between us, but through every human heart. We all have the capability to be wheat and to be a weed, and the only one who can change that is God. Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way, "All I'm saying is this, that all life is interrelated, that somehow we're caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects us all indirectly. For some strange reason, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. You can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality." The parable of the weeds growing among the weeds encourages us to withhold our judgments and to allow God to reveal in time the things that are of benefit to the kingdom of God. We do need to speak against injustice, and we shouldn't overlook people behaving badly and exploiting others. But the way to change is not for us to judge and condemn. That's not our role. The parable tells us that in the kingdom of heaven, the way to make change for the better a real possibility is for us to live out the gospel in our everyday life. That will bring about revolution. That will confound people. And in the end, God will bring about the harvest. And I'm sure that in that harvest, there will be many surprises as God reveals people and things we have written off as weeds being declared wheat, flourishing in the kingdom of God. Some people may be surprised that we are wheat. And perhaps even the things that we hold up now will prove not to be useful in the kingdom of God. God will judge, and we are called to be faithful, to be loving, to be willing to take risks and to stop judging and to trust in the God of the harvest. That's kind of a whole sermon there, but Jesus doesn't stop. It's really interesting that before Jesus goes on to explain to the 12 disciples the parable of the wheat and the weeds, he tells two more. When we hear them all together, they serve as a greater parable and give us a fuller understanding. First comes the parable of the mustard seed. It's a tiny seed which a farmer plants in his field where it grows into a tree that offers shelter to birds. So again, we ask, what's surprising about this story? Well, in this case, there are a few surprises. One is that a tree can sprout from such a tiny seed. The other is that the farmer would plant it in the first place in the middle of his field. You see, mustard, while useful for cooking and for healing, had a tendency in first century Palestine to spread in obnoxious ways. Think about kudzu in the south. That was planted for a reason initially, and now look what's happened. It wasn't a crop that was typically planted in a field, and some thought of it as an overpowering weed. Secondly, why would a farmer want a tree in his field? It makes it harder to plow when you have to go around things, and it attracts birds who eat the other crops. Jesus goes on to say that the kingdom of heaven is also like a woman hiding, that's a surprising word, hiding, leavening in three measures of flour until the yeast had worked its way through the dough. Now, it's not surprising that yeast would work its way through the dough, right? That's what leavening does. In this case, the leavening was probably what we think of as like a sourdough starter. But what's surprising is the amount of flour mentioned. It said three measures of flour. That doesn't mean a whole lot to us That 3 measures of flour was somewhere between 40 to 60 pounds of flour. Would take a while, even for good yeast, to work its way through. And then when it did, that is far too much dough for one woman to knead on her own. And the yield would be entirely too much for one person or family to consume before it went bad. That is a lot of loaves of bread. It seems extravagant and wasteful. A tiny seed, a small amount of yeast, weeds infiltrating the wheat field. How can the kingdom of heaven be like all of these? Well, yeast and seed are both small and both hidden. Both are about potential that needs to be actualized. We may not see the potential or the results right away. And the kingdom of God is always present in our world. We just may not recognize it. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus tells the crowd, is not what you expect. It's not about productivity and purity and common sense. The kingdom is about growth and messiness and joy. The kingdom is here and there, but you don't see it because you think it's just a weed or a seed, just an impurity. To see the kingdom, you need a deeper spiritual imagination, one that realizes that many weeds are wildflowers. So when we think about the yeast and the mustard seed in connection with the story of the wheat and the weeds, we're reminded that transformation is at the heart of God's story. It's the heart of the gospel. And certainly in our world, weeds do not just become wheat. But it's really interesting, the same Greek word that Jesus uses to describe the fruit of the false wheat here is the one he uses when he calls Peter a stumbling block. We'll read about that next week. And Peter turns from that toxic fruit into the rock on which the church is built. He's a guy who sometimes got it wrong, sometimes chose violence, sometimes helped keep people out, and yet he was transformed into one who opened the doors of God's grace wide, who taught and healed and brought hope, who helped spread good news even to those he once considered poison. And scripture's full of God surprising us like that. The last will be first, Jesus says. Murderers become leaders in scripture. Barren women become mothers of nations. Blessed are the poor and the meek and the grieving. Let the little children, the least of society, come. It's an upside down kingdom. So, can God change false wheat into real wheat? I don't know, but I have a suspicion the answer is yes. After all, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything is made new. Maybe even the weeds in the world and in our own hearts. Jesus calls us to change our hearts and minds, because the kingdom of heaven is near. May we begin that change today, giving up on judging others, on determining who's in and who's out, and focusing instead on nurturing all the harvest, trusting in the power of Jesus to transform weeds into wheat, even weeds like us. Amen. Amen.